And I'll tell you, in this postmodern era, and even with the emerging church saying there are only mysteries and no answers, when you give culturally relevant answers, it makes a huge difference. Because what postmodernism is doing is creating a whole generation of disillusioned people who are groping for the truth. So the solution isn't to drag the gospel down to their level, but to lift people up to the level of the truth.
We never know what the next batch of breaking news may be. Fortunately, the Bible is very clear about major events in our future. That is why, what now is such an important question, and Skip Heitzik will turn us to sure and clear answers on today's Connection. But first, we want to encourage you to tell your friends on social media that you're listening to The Connection by sharing this Skip Quip right now.
No one, under any circumstance, is beyond the reach of the gospel.
Can you help us in the important work of sharing God's Word? You are a part of that when you support this ministry financially. Just head on over to connectiononline.org/give. Thank you so much for your support of this ministry. For now, open your Bible to Romans chapter 12 as Skip begins.
We should examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. Test ourselves. And then once we've done that, when you know that your life is on a secure foundation, then let it show. Because if you know, it will show. If you don't know about your salvation, it too will show. Then number two, is your family secure? Remember, we spoke about David and the relationship he had with Absalom. We looked into the home life of King David. We saw that it was basically dysfunction junction. We had a passive father who let his children run rampant, who lost the moral high ground and couldn't speak into his son's life any longer. We talked about the family. It's the basic core of any culture. And if you have strong families, that culture, that society will be strong. If you have weak families, that culture, that society will be weak. And there are powerful forces in this culture to undermine your family. Not just media, not just music, not just film, etc. But sometimes parents themselves undermine the family. Dr. Jim Dobson said, "The Western world stands at a great crossroads in its history. It is my opinion that our very survival as a people will depend on the presence or absence of masculine leadership within the home." Over the past 30 years, the rise in violent crime parallels the rise in families abandoned by fathers. This is very critical. John Fuller is the co-host of Focus on the Family with Dr. Jim Dobson. I've asked him to share a few words on this for us.
Well, here at Focus on the Family, we believe the family is foundational to society. And there's no doubt that there are a lot of external pressures on families, a lot of media coming into the home, distorting values, a lot of things out in the educational system. There certainly are patterns that kids are developing that are not healthy for families. And then there are internal things going on with moms and dads very busy. They're sometimes too busy, preoccupied with things to pay much attention to the children and what they need. And so between the external and the internal challenges coming at families, there's no doubt that families are probably under the most stress and strain that they have been forever, at least in this culture. You know, what I've observed is that fathers are very good at setting goals at work, and that a lot of dads have no problem throwing all their emotional energies into their work. And then they go home spent, and they pretty much check out from that role that God has given them as a father to the children in the home. So I feel badly for dads who are missing it by pouring 100% into the work world and then going home with nothing. The truth of the matter is, most of us are replaceable at work. But with that God-given role in the family, we're irreplaceable. And so dads I talk to, I just encourage them to make time, make the energy, make some plans to be intentional in their parenting with their kids. Because if you don't pour into the child's life, the culture will. And what the culture gives is probably antithetical to your value system, and long-term is going to harm that child. So speak into the child's life. We've got to be ready and willing when they want to talk. And we have to be far more intentional than we are, setting goals for their spiritual milestones, helping those kids navigate life so that when they leave the home, they're ready to be fruitful, productive citizens, and more importantly, men and women of God.
Picking up on that phrase, men and women of God, the potential in becoming one of those, intentional parenting. It begins like Joshua, who said to the nation as the leader, not only of his nation, but of his home, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Parents, think of yourselves as partners with God in discipling your children. Third question, is your home secure? You remember that Nehemiah wept over the city of Jerusalem when he heard that the gates were burned with fire and that the walls were broken down. Now, as the gatekeeper to your own soul, and as gatekeepers to the souls of your children, of your family, what are you letting in the gates? What are you allowing your eyes to see and your ears to hear? And though you may have wonderful homes and fancy security systems, what's going in through those little holes called the internet and cable television? What good is it to build up the walls of our lives, Bible study, prayer, fellowship, when we're letting enemies in through the gates? Proverbs 25, verse 28 declares, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." If you have no self-control that you exercise, you are an easy victim. Now let's turn our attention and hear what Raul Ries has to say about this very subject, especially of computers in the home.
Hi, this is Pastor Raul Ries. I wanted to say hi to the Calvary Chapel Albuquerque, and we're here to speak about the homeland security problem. Well, one of the things about computers, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, especially I have counseled so many men that have computers in their homes, and the problem of going to those websites that destroy men's character, and it destroys their marriage because of what they're actually dialed into, pornography. And it's a real situation where men have literally lost hope with their wives and their children and began to do things that are not really biblical. The only way that you can be helped but from pornography is, the Bible says this, to wash your mind with the Word of God. That is to be in the Word of God, read the Word of God, and to pray every day and to confess and repent of your sins and to stay away from your computer, from those websites. And if you turn on the television, not to go to those channels or limit your television to just regular public viewing. Spiritually, it means you got to get rid of the sin. And the way to get rid of the sin, you really have to, number one, repent of your sins. And number two, as you repent, not keep the same problem before you. And the only way to really be careful with that is to never go back to reading or watching or listening to anything that is not decently and in order according to the Word of God. Especially pornography is a big word, and it's killing and destroying our country, our nation, and marriages. Yes, victory is very possible. It's up to a person to submit and to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit and to surrender your life, to really truly repent and never go back to that sin. They will blind you and they will kill you.
I want to say, I can't believe it. It's neat. I just can't resist when I hear Raul. I just love him. Well, it only makes sense then, doesn't it, that we would want to present our bodies, as Raul would say, completely to God. In this area especially, men, women, children, all around. Next question, number four, is your church secure? If you remember, we went back to Luke 21, where Jesus promised that anyone who will follow him will not have an easy road, that becoming a believer and going to church isn't going to be a walk in the park, but rather, he said, you're going to be hated by the religious establishment. He said, they will deliver you up to the synagogue. And some of you know exactly what it is to be persecuted by your religious family and friends. You gave your life to Christ, and they like the old you better than the new you. You could be religious, their religion, going to church, just party and do all that you used to do. But this new Christian Bible thing, this is like way over the top. Then Jesus said, not only that, but you'll be hated by the secular world. In his words, brought before kings and rulers. He said, you'll be hated by your family, betrayed by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. And we looked at the persecution around the world. And here's a sobering truth. It's estimated, if you took all Christians worldwide, that it's estimated that one in every 200 Christians can expect to be martyred in his or her lifetime. And that kind of hatred is on the rise, not just overseas, but even in our own shores. But there's a much greater threat. If you recall back, we studied about some of the trends that are afoot in the church, and that's the battle over the truth. Paul the Apostle said, the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. And for a couple weeks, we touched on a very disturbing trend, all under the banner of the emerging church. It's sort of a spiritual terrorism, a subtle sabotaging of the truth. In fact, the leaders are saying, it's not even possible for you to know what truth really is. Brian McLaren, sort of the spokesperson for it, said, I don't know if anyone has ever gotten the gospel right, close quote. Well, anyone would include Paul, anyone would include Peter, anyone would include John, to say they've never gotten the gospel right, and all of a sudden they've come on the scene to enlighten us is disturbing. Now, I've asked Josh McDowell to say a few words about this topic, and especially what he calls the last Christian generation. Let's listen to Josh.
Hello, Albuquerque. Hi, I'm Josh McDowell, and greetings to my friends at Calvary. I am so thankful you're taking time to look at Homeland Security. But what we need to realize is that in Jesus Christ, we can have a phenomenal peace right in the midst of terror. That book was probably the hardest book I ever had to start on a topic. I didn't want to write it, but I felt I had to. It's more like a 21st century Christian manifesto. As I have worked with young people now for 47 years, traveling, speaking, writing, interacting, I have concluded that this generation of young people in general, not specifically, but in general, they are not a Christian generation. Not by what they believe and how they behave. And so when I wrote The Last Christian Generation, the last Christian generation are not our young people. It's the parents. And oh, it hurts to say that. But I couldn't have written the first half of that book unless I believed there were positive, biblically based, culturally relevant answers, one family at a time.
I'm picking up on a phrase he just said, culturally relevant answers. And I'll tell you, in this postmodern era, and even with the emerging church saying there are only mysteries and no answers, when you give culturally relevant answers, it makes a huge difference. Because what postmodernism is doing is creating a whole generation of disillusioned people who are groping for the truth. So the solution isn't to drag the gospel down to their level, but to lift people up to the level of the truth and to preach the truth. And as I mentioned then, and I'll say again, I want you to be the best fed and most loved congregation in the state. But I also want you personally to be discerning when it comes to what is true and what is not true, to have a good filtering system. Fifth question, are you telling others how to be secure? Are you seeing the opportunities that are in our world? We considered for 2 weeks Islam. Think about it, 20% of the world's population is Muslim. One out of every five people on planet Earth is Muslim. 1.3 billion people, and they would love to see that spread worldwide. One new mosque opens every week in the United States. Then we also considered radical Islam, that there's a whole section under that banner of Islam, not all of them, but some of them, and a significant amount, that want to see the great Satan, that would be you and me, the United States, utterly destroyed, along with the little Satan, that would be Israel, obliterated, utterly destroyed. We mentioned in one of the studies Osama bin Laden. Did you know that bin Laden refers to 9/11 as on that blessed Tuesday, September 11th? That was a threshold moment for that man and for some of these radicals. But what about the opportunity? We looked at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And here's what we discovered. No one, under any circumstance, is beyond the reach of the gospel. Saul was a first century terrorist, and Jesus Christ got a hold of his life, someone that people thought, no way will he ever become a believer. God got a hold of him. And all over the Islamic world, thousands upon thousands every day are coming to Christ. And I'm going to ask now Joel Rosenberg and you'll see up on the screen Kamal Saleem, both together, to tell us about what's happening briefly in that part of the world.
One of the things I think that people don't realize, even evangelical Christians, is how powerfully God is moving in the Middle East right now, and how the church is growing leaps and bounds. I mean, literally more Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus Christ today in the Middle East than at any other time in the history of the world. And Jesus did say, of course, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not so sure Christians really believed that when it came to the Muslim world for centuries and centuries and centuries. But now we are seeing absolute miracles going on in the epicenter right now.
Muslims are coming to Christ all over the Middle East today. He's taking radical Muslims who are about to kill innocent people and saying, rise up, you are my warrior.
There was a series of assassinations of Iranian Christian leaders back in the early 1990s. And as those began to unfold, a lot of Christian ministries told their top leadership, you need to get out of the country, at least for a while. It's not safe. And so phone calls started moving around. And these guys from the Iranian Bible Society got the call, told you got to get out of the country as fast as you can. So just because of what they do, they just grabbed a bunch of boxes of Bibles in the Iranian language of Farsi, put them in the backseat, and began driving up into the mountains as fast as they could. Well, as they did this, a rainstorm began to coming in, and it got harder and harder, and they're up in these winding mountain roads that are very narrow, and suddenly their steering wheel locks up. By God's grace, the car just stopped right on the edge of this cliff, and suddenly, startled, they look over, and there's a man's face in their window. The man said, do you have the books? And they're like, what are you talking about? And the man told the story. He said, you see that village up at the top of that hill? Well, that's where I live. And about a week ago, I had a vision. Jesus told him, go down the mountain and wait by the side of the road, and someone will bring you my book that will tell you how to live. So he tells the story, and these two guys from the Iranian Bible Society are like, well, okay then. I guess that's why we're here. So they pull out these books, these Bibles, and start giving to him. And this man, he just begins to weep. He took the Bibles, put them under his coat, hiked back up the mountain. They turned the car back on. The steering wheel worked. They drove out of the country.
Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? You remember in that story of Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts, there was a guy named Ananias? He had a label over Saul of Tarsus. I have heard how many evil things he's done to harm your people. And I wonder what labels we place over people's lives that the Lord would want to take down and transform those people and make those believers in Jesus Christ. So practical presentation. Here I am, Lord. Here is my body devoted to you. Second, and we'll close with this, is an inward transformation. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is calling you to non-conformity. Don't conform to this world. I love the way the Phillips translation puts it. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. You know, one of the greatest fears people have is to be rejected by the group, their peers, to somehow be different. That's why we conform. That's why we conform to the way the world thinks about what spirituality should be like. It's why we conform to what the world considers the family is to look like. It's why we conform to watching what the world watches on TV, etc. Years ago, there was a group of scientists who put caterpillars on top of a clay pot. Really interesting experiment. They put them head to tail, all the way around, so it was a solid ring of caterpillars around a clay pot, and watched as they marched and marched and marched around, 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 not just for an hour, but for a day and a second day and a third day. And all week they marched around till they died of starvation and exhaustion. Never once did one caterpillar break away from the group to get nourishment, because inside the pot was a plant. They just followed each other and died. And that's what the world is doing. Processional caterpillars, we're not to conform to the world. We're to be transformed. Our thinking is to be renewed. Look at that last phrase as we close. But you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, your mind matters to God. Your mind matters to God. Jesus said, you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we are either conforming to one or two value systems: the value system of God and His Word, or the value system of this world. So we should think deeply through these issues. And as we see any of these issues, compare it with the lens that shapes our thinking, and that is the Word of God, that we would think His thoughts. James Montgomery Boyce wrote this: people aren't thinking anymore. Brain cells are seriously under-exercised. Contemplation has become an old-fashioned word with little place in our fast-paced, high-tech world. For thinking, we have substituted entertainment. The substitution has been so effective that many of us believe that entertainment actually makes us think. We think of ourselves as being the best-informed generation in history because of television. But television is not informing us, it's entertaining us, and there is a difference. So, break away from the crowd. Dare to be different. Dare to think differently. And if you think biblically, I'll guarantee you, you will be thinking very differently than the rest of the crowd. Think differently about your need for a spiritual walk and a foundation. Think differently about your need to nurture your family. Think differently about securing your soul and your home from soul thieves. Think differently about securing the church and standing up for the truth. And let's not argue over petty little things like, is that a big puddle or a little puddle? Just let's get a towel and all together clean it up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the last, well, now 12 weeks as we have discussed the security of the believer, how secure we are because we know you, the joy and the peace that can be ours as we march through life toward eternity. Amen.
So that is what is on the horizon in our world. As Skip answers the question, what now? We can have confidence in the future, even if the events facing us seem troubling. Now, let's hear how you can get a personal update from Skip about his recent trip to Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan.
The pressure on our world is reaching explosive levels. The epicenter of the Mideast dominates world headlines and breaking news. Some run away, but in February, Skip Heitzig took a team and went right to the heart of need.
Everybody I spoke to lost somebody. One man lost all of his children. So here you have a religious group that's well-armed, that believes in death, that believes you either convert to our way of practicing our religion or we will kill you.
In February, Skip went to Lebanon, Iraq, and Jordan to bring relief from Reload Love. This month only, The Connection is offering a resource package that includes a personal and private audio briefing from Skip about his trip.
Every single person here had to find shelter elsewhere, and they had to leave everything in their homes.
Along with this private update from Skip, you'll also receive the book by Tom Doyle about the incredible pressure believers are under in the Mideast, killing Christians. The stories are breathtaking, the lessons soul-stirring in this just-published book. You'll also receive an update from Dr. Stephen Collins about his controversial project in Jordan to discover the real site for Sodom. All this, and as a special bonus, a full-length Easter message CD from Skip for a suggested donation of $30. And your support will help keep The Connection going forward in 2015. Call toll-free 1-800-922-1888, 1-800-922-1888, or order at connectiononline.org.
Been training the next generation and telling them about Jesus and am insisting on forgiveness, that's the thing that's going to change the culture.
And when you order the April Resource Package, the private briefing from Skip also comes with a collection of his personal photos from Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan. This package is available nowhere else and for a limited time. Call now, 1-800-922-1888. You can also order the entire series called Homeland Security, so just ask about that when you contact us. If this teaching gave you some insight on how you can live sold out for Christ, tell us about it when you email mystory@connectiononline.org. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. No matter how you contact us, we look forward to hearing from you. Tomorrow on The Connection, Skip launches a new series about the biblical view of marriage.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection. Connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.